but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. Exodus 31:13. You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord.
Good morning. I entitled my meditation Feeling Hopeless, Music, Media, Politics, and Religion. I think I probably covered about three of the four taboos that you don't talk about in polite company. I probably could have just as easily called this Avoiding Distractions and Keeping Your Personal Sabbath Through Music, but it just didn't sound quite as provocative. So, for those who know me, I'm a bit of a news junkie. I read news from a variety of sources, including the Seattle Times, Washington Post, Kitsap Sun, BBC, NBC, Kitsap Herald, a few local stations, Reason, and the Cato Institute. I read news on my phone. I read news on my computer. I read one or two printed newspapers. I occasionally watch PBS news shows. I get news alerts from various, sources. News, while a source of information, I think it's important to be well-informed, can also be a great source of distraction. It tells us about issues in our world and can give us opposing viewpoints on issues. With some interpretation, it can help us with a basis for priority in making informed choices. It provides an important safeguard and can play one of the check and balance roles. A free press is very important in my mind. So is the information. The information is important. On the other side of things, news can be a huge distraction, and like many other things we do on our phones, become an addiction. Somewhere in that stack of pictures, and I think on the cover of the, on the opening page of the bulletin, there's a picture that shows two people sitting at breakfast table at a cafe looking at their phones. Not going to say who those two people might be and when it might have occurred last weekend. Like I said, news can be a huge distraction, and like so many of the things we do on our phones, become an addiction. I have a little trouble with that. I check my phone way too much. Content can be very negative and sensational, and it can affect our well-being and how we feel. I included hopeless in my meditation title because that is the most common way I feel after too much negative news. If you just look at the headlines for the last day or so, you might get what I'm talking about. Overwhelmed would probably fit too. The content can be negative and sensational, and the pace just seems to be ever increasing, more and more and more, faster. It's delivered in a way that is intended to hold our attention and to keep us coming back. That more and more and more. Reminded to keep that in mind as we head into another major election cycle. It's not too far off. And if you remember the last one, it was pretty ugly. I was reading headlines one day, and it struck me just how lousy the headlines looked. This actually was yesterday. On the same page, just through a single page, we had Hurricane Dorian, new tariffs on multiple Chinese products, an update on Democratic presidential candidates, doorbell camera spying, U.S. government enlisting scientists to track drug lords, Trump pledging not to use his office to help his business, seeds of the resistance, and how some indigenous Brazilians are trying to save their land, if I don't pay, they'll kill me, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, and how the Trump administration limited the scope of the USDA's recent 2020 dietary guidelines. That was one page. And none of it sounded particularly positive. You know, some of it was neutral and some of it, you know, kind of icky. When I started this meditation a few weeks back, I was really thought about Billy Joel's We Didn't Start This Fire. You know, if you know the song, it seems really appropriate for today. It was written probably more than 30 years ago. Goes through listing a number of issues from its day and how we didn't light the fire, but we tried to fight it. And in a way, in the song anyway, we ended up taking some responsibility for it. Media reports and politics and religion can be a huge source of distraction and deliberately create stress in our lives. You know, we're inundated with the negativity, and it really is, you know, it can cause stress and discomfort. They are designed to keep our attention. They try to be provocative. And I'm not even starting to talk about advertising. You know, we just mountains of advertising. And, you know, most websites just, you know, a slew of advertising. That's how they pay their bills. Anyway, from the media, it pushes messages like global warming, racism, sexual harassment, white supremacy, xenophobia, homophobia, mass shootings, unfortunately yesterday, capital gains and income taxes, sexual assault, people experiencing homelessness, robocalls, hate crimes, Iraq, healthcare, the 1%, famine, Iran, drought, floods, hurricanes, greed, MRSA, corruption, Afghanistan, suicide bombings, toxic masculinity, invaded privacy, the 99%, the nanny state, mental health, Amazon, the Sears and the decline of Wall Street, funeral for an Icelandic glacier, North Korea, the next great extinction, hypocrisy, Russian meddling. It will get better. That really was the point. Have a few others, Citizen United, malaria, corporate welfare, Greenland, trade wars, Ebola. Haven't even gotten to politics yet. On the subject of politics. We have nationalism, gaslighting, and a bunch of other stuff. Name calling, Pocahontas, yeah. And religion sometimes doesn't seem to help either. You know, we've got some senseless fundamentalism. Just, you know, in terms like ISIS and stuff, theocratic barbarism. Some stuff that sounds like it came right out of The Handmaid's Tale. You know, sometimes it just kind of seems like the end of days. It just, yuck. You know, on their individually, you know, each of these things probably deserves our greater attention. However, taken in their entirety, it's like drinking from a fire hose. You know, I didn't even touch on the superficial silliness like how Kim Kardashian is trying to make her butt look bigger or what some celebrity had for breakfast while he was cheating on his wife. You know, that's the kind of stuff we get. I mean, wouldn't you rather know what the person next to you did for breakfast themselves? You know? So it got you stressed yet? Uncomfortable? Okay. Consider for a moment, it's from Meister Eckhart, if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. You're in a forest, hiking along a narrow path. There's no one else around. At first, you didn't notice much. Then you begin to notice the sounds of the forest. You hear the breeze in the trees. You notice the sound of your breath and the leaves crunching beneath your footsteps. Now you hear the rustle of feathers and a bird in flight. There's a tiny squeak off to your right. There's the sound of a hare rustling on the small rise to your left. The leaves are an iridescent green, and the sun filtering through, You just walked a mile and didn't realize it. I was driving to work last Wednesday. Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony, Symphony No. 6, was playing. The sky was blue with shades of orange and yellow, and it was just before sunrise. I'd always considered a 6 to be about nature, and sometimes I've had a hard time separating the music of the 6th Symphony from Flying Horses and Fantasia, because it was used a lot as background music in Fantasia. This time I realized how much of his 6th Symphony contained sunrise elements and how much it was about new beginnings. In that moment, I felt a connection with the composer through the orchestra performance. You know, I consider the composer's creation and the musician's performance both to contain elements of the divine. Feeling a little better? Words, ideas, and images are powerful. They can have both positive and negative effects on our health, our well-being, and how receptive we are to the divine. I'm reminded the divine is always there. You know, sometimes it's just hard to hear when we're bombarded with a constant stream of distraction and our mind is always at attention. What's that? What's that? What's that? I'm also reminded we cannot fall out of the divine. We do not feel like the Great Spirit is present. You know, we may simply be too distracted to hear well at that time. Those negative messages I mentioned earlier tend to demand our mind's attention. You know, and constantly changing information continues over and over and over to grab our attention. You know, mind doesn't get a chance to relax. When we're stressed or distressed, it's more difficult to let the divine in, unfortunately. That's probably when we need the divine most. We tend to be more defensive and preoccupied. You know, we hear God best when we're relaxed. A comfortably occupied mind can help with our divine hearing. For me, it seems like I was able to connect with the divine much more readily 10 years ago than today. I think I'm largely the same person. You know, I've grown in some ways and, you know, think, you know, due to world and various demands. You know, I've needed to be more in my game now than, say, 10 years ago. I don't get to put my analytical mind to bed as much as I used to. And, you know, there are more things vying for my attention. You know, if you consider those earlier negative images, you know, how much attention did they get 10 or 20 years ago? Some of the issues were still there, and some of the issues probably deserved more attention then, but it wasn't the constant barrage that we seem to get today. You know, is any wonder we feel like our hair's on fire and our big toes in a vice? You know, I think the Great Recession played a big part. Fallout from 9/11, Afghanistan war, and all the other stuff that followed. Work demands for a lot of people have grown since, especially since the Great Recession. So who am I? Short, who am I, anyway? I'm a problem solver. Vicky might say a problem causer. I think I'm fairly creative. Analytical, husband and father, engineer and a manager, a ferry boat commuter. Let's see, involved in a as a somewhat silent business owner in a toy store. I like to design and build speakers as a hobby that sometimes I get a chance to do. I love music. That's probably maybe something some of you knew. And I do find time for that. You know, I like to take, also like to take short hikes on the weekend. Some of the pictures up here are from, you know, I like pictures of paths and things. And some of those are my pictures from hikes. So circling back for a moment, what is a Sabbath? It can be the seventh day of the week. Depending upon what religion, maybe one of several days. Judaism, Christianity, Shintoism, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Buddhism, Confucianism, and Hinduism each have some form of a Sabbath. Those are the ones I could find. You know, some involve a weekly day for God. Some prescribe making time each year for God. And I mentioned the Cherokee during children's time, that it was the first day of the new moon. Keeping a Sabbath involves intentionality, making time for the Great Spirit and leaving room for the divine. You know, it's referred to as God's day of rest in Genesis. In other places, like in Leviticus, it's referred to as taking an entire year, 1 and 7, and that today has come to be known as a sabbatical, as opposed to a Sabbath. What I found was the root of Sabbath is the Hebrew Sabbat, which seems to be, derived from the verb Sabbat, which means to stop, cease, or to keep. So what does that mean for busy modern people? How many of us can keep an entire day holy? There probably are some of us who can. Some people who can deliberately set aside a day and manage to keep boundaries to where they can keep a whole day, entire day holy. Probably for many of us, we can't. I find Sundays are I have some holy time on Sundays, but there's a fair amount of catch-up time on Sundays, trying to get the things done from the rest of the week that I didn't get to. Perhaps the concept of spiritual Sabbath or mini-Sabbath is the best we can do. You know, spiritual Sabbath observer does not limit the practice to a specific day, but considers the practice of choosing their particular day for rest, or in some cases, holding it instead more as a symbolic metaphor. You know, as a metaphor, the principle is observed in spirit more than doctrinally. That means, like during children's time, setting aside a little time here and a little time there when you have the chance to intentionally consider the Holy Spirit. So, my spiritual practice. And I never like that as a question. What's your spiritual practice? I never seem to have a good answer for it. Do I have one? Yes, I suppose I do. I guess I'd see the question more like, do you have a spiritual plan? And that just doesn't resonate with me. What do? Prayer, walking, hiking, reading, occasional biking, some meditating, and listening to music are parts of my spiritual practice. You know, I appreciate art in many forms, and I see art as containing spiritual elements. And it offers a connection with what the artist put into their art. You know, their intention, it's communication. It can contain, often contains the love of the artist. I think it's one of their ways of passing that love around to others. That connection, in my mind, can be spiritual. And I consider appreciating art as a bit of a spiritual Sabbath. And I find as appreciating art that I'm in a space where I'm more open to spirit. Like I mentioned, music is big with me. I think music is approachable, and because it's portable, it suits my lifestyle. It seems to have a way of getting past the clutter and offering comfort. It reaches me on several levels. I can listen to whatever degree suits me at the time. And I have the choice of what I want to listen to. You know, some say that music heals. It can certainly set a mood. It can bring us up when we're feeling down. It can give hope. It can offer energy. It can help us to relax when we're feeling tense. It can draw us into reflection. In my mind, it's powerful like words are powerful. In some ways, more so because it can be more of a metaphor. Can also encourage community. and it can improve our mental state. It can set the tone. Performed live, it can completely captivate us. And sometimes the message you need to hear may come from unfamiliar places. Some might describe what I do. My spiritual practice, one of the things I do is I just pick out some piece of music and I listen to it. And some might describe that as listening critically. Actually, I'm not really listening critically. I'm not trying to find faults or differences or grade it or judge it. I listen carefully. So anyway, it's listening critically is a very left brain type of activity, and I consider what I try and do as part of my spiritual practice is more of balanced left brain, right brain. I find it a language, and I suppose that would put me in the music lover camp as opposed to the audiophile camp. I listen for how a musician performs and how the musician play interact. I try to listen for the intent of the composer or the songwriter. Each of those things kind of draws me in, and as I'm drawn in, my mind is satisfied and occupied, and I find that I can be very reflective then. For me, music is a bit of a spiritual Sabbath or a mini respite. It satisfies the active mind and sets a contemplative space. It can help me relax. You know, art is many things. On one level, a metaphor. It can be a language. Metaphors are effective ways of connecting with our mind and communicating with our inner self. And as you know, holy books often make their most effective communication as a metaphor. So what I would say is, look for the metaphor. Find your personal Sabbath. You know, some repetitive activities can be very helpful in finding space for spirit. Listen. It's really about listening and listening to the divine. And keep some form of Sabbath. It's good for our souls.